I'm Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Being a mom with three young children taught me not to believe every story I hear. So forgive me for not believing much of anything I heard tonight from President Biden. From out of control inflation and violent crime to the dangerous border crisis and threat from China. Biden and the Democrats have failed you. They know it, and you know it. And it's time for a change. Tonight, let us reaffirm our commitment to a timeless American idea that government exists not to rule the people, but to serve the people. Democrats want to rule us with more government control, but that's not who we are. America is the greatest country the world has ever known, because we're the freest country the world has ever known, with a people who are strong and resilient. 5 months ago, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. It was a hard time for our family, particularly our kids, Scarlett, Huck, and George. But we kept our faith and persevered. Thanks to exceptional doctors here in Arkansas, a successful surgery, and the grace of God, I am cancer-free. Through it all, I couldn't help but think about my mom. She was 20 years old and into her first year of marriage when she was diagnosed with spinal cancer. The doctors told her she might not live, and if she did live, they said she'd never walk again. And if she did walk, she'd definitely never have children. The daughter she was told she'd never have was just sworn in as the new governor of Arkansas and is speaking to you tonight. Adversity and fear of the unknown can paralyze us, but faith propels us to charge boldly ahead. We can't stand still in the face of great challenges. You and I were put on this earth for such a time as this, to charge boldly ahead. I'll be the first to admit, President Biden and I don't have a lot in common. I'm for freedom, he's for government control. At 40, I'm the youngest governor in the country. And at 80, he's the oldest president in American history. I'm the first woman to lead my state, and he's the first man to surrender his presidency to a woke mob that can't even tell you what a woman is. In the radical left's America, Washington taxes you and lights your hard-earned money on fire. But you get crushed with high gas prices, empty grocery shelves, and our children are taught to hate one another on account of their race, but not to love one another or our great country. Whether Joe Biden believes this madness or is simply too weak to resist it, his administration has been completely hijacked by the radical left. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy. It's time for a new generation of Republican leadership. Upon taking office just a few weeks ago, I signed executive orders to ban CRT, racism, and indoctrination in our schools, eliminate the use of derogatory term Latinx in our government, repealed COVID orders and said never again to authoritarian mandates and shutdowns. Americans want common sense from their leaders. But in Washington, the Biden administration is doubling down on crazy. President Biden inherited the fastest economic recovery on record, the most secure border in history, cheap, abundant, homegrown energy, fast rising wages, a rebuilt military, and a world that was stable and at peace. But over the last 2 years, Democrats destroyed it all. Despite Democrats' trillions in reckless spending and mountains of debt, we now have the worst border crisis in American history. As a mom, my heart breaks for every parent who has lost a son or daughter to addiction. 100,000 Americans a year are now killed from drug overdoses, largely from fentanyl pouring across our southern border. Yet the Biden administration refuses to secure the border and save American lives. And after years of Democrat attacks on law enforcement and calls to defund the police, violent criminals roam free while law-abiding families live in fear. Beyond our border, from Afghanistan to Ukraine, from North Korea to Iran, President Biden's weakness puts our nation and the world at risk. And the president's refusal to stand up to China, our most formidable adversary, is dangerous and unacceptable. President Biden is unwilling to defend our border, defend our skies, and defend our people. He is simply unfit to serve as commander-in-chief. And while you reap the consequences of their failures, the Biden administration seems more interested in woke fantasies than the hard reality Americans face every day. Most Americans simply want to live their lives in freedom and peace. But we are under attack in a left-wing culture war we didn't start and never wanted to fight. Every day we are told we must partake in their rituals, salute their flags, and worship their false idols. All while big government colludes with big tech to strip away the most American thing there is, your freedom of speech. That's not normal. It's crazy. And it's wrong. Make no mistake. Republicans will not surrender this fight. We will lead with courage and do what's right, not what's politically correct or convenient. Republicans believe in an America where strong families thrive in safe communities, where jobs are abundant and paychecks are rising, where the freedom our veterans shed their blood to defend is the birthright of every man, woman, and child. These are the principles Republican governors are fighting for, and in Washington, under the leadership of Senate Republicans and Speaker Kevin McCarthy, we will hold the Biden administration accountable. Down the street from where I sit is my alma mater, Little Rock Central High. As a student there, I will never forget watching my dad, Governor Mike Huckabee, and President Bill Clinton hold the doors open to the Little Rock Nine. Doors that 40 years earlier had been closed to them because they were Black. Today, those children once barred from the schoolhouse are now heroes memorialized in bronze at our state house. I'm proud of the progress our country has made, and I believe giving every child access to a quality education, regardless of their race or income, is the civil rights issue of our day. Tomorrow, I will unveil an education package that will be the most far-reaching, bold, conservative education reform in the country. My plan empowers parents with real choices, improves literacy and career readiness, and helps put a good teacher in every classroom by increasing their starting salary from one of the lowest to one of the highest in the nation. Here in Arkansas and across America, Republicans are working to end the policy of trapping kids in failing schools and sentencing them to a lifetime of poverty. We will educate, not indoctrinate our kids, and put students on a path to success. It's time for a new generation to lead. This is our moment. This is our opportunity. A new generation born in the waning decades of the last century, shaped by economic booms and stock market busts, forged by the triumph of the Cold War and the tragedy of 9/11. A generation brimming with passion and new ideas to solve age-old problems. A generation moored to our deepest values and oldest traditions, yet unafraid to challenge the present order and find a better way forward. If we seize this moment together, America can once again be the land of the free and the home of the brave. During my 2.5 years at the White House, I traveled on every foreign trip with the president. A trip I will never forget was on December 25th of 2018. My husband Brian and I had just cleaned up wrapping paper that was shoved into every corner of our house, thanks to our three kids. When I had to walk out on my own family's Christmas, unable to tell them where I was going that night, because the place I'd be traveling was so dangerous, they didn't want anybody to know that the president was going to be on the ground, even for a few hours. We boarded Air Force One in complete and total darkness. There were no lights on the plane, no lights on the runway. Our phones and computers shut down and turned in. We were going completely off the grid. Nearly 12 hours later, in the pitch black of night, we landed in the war-torn part of Western Iraq. It was again a similar scene. No lights on the plane, no lights on the runway. The only thing you could see was coming from about a mile away in a dining hall where hundreds of troops who were in the fight against ISIS had gathered expecting to celebrate Christmas with senior military leadership from around the region. They had absolutely no idea that the president and first lady were about to walk into that room. And when they did, it was a sight and a scene and a sound I hope I never forget. The room erupted. Men and women from every race, religion, and region, every political party, every demographic you can imagine, started chanting in perfect unison over and over and over again, USA, USA, USA. It was an absolutely perfect picture of what makes our country great. One of the young soldiers yelled from the back, "Mr. President, I re-enlisted in the military because of you." And the president said, "And son, I'm here because of you." Shortly after, that young soldier came up to me. He said, "Sarah, you have a tough job." I told him, "What I do is nothing. You take bombs and bullets. That's a tough job." And in a moment that I know I'll cherish for the rest of my life, that soldier reached up and he pulled the Brave Rifles patch he wore on his shoulder, and he placed it into my hand, a sign of ultimate respect. And he said, "Sarah, we are in this together." Overwhelmed with emotion and speechless, I just hugged him with tears in my eyes and a grateful heart for our heroes who keep us free. That young man and everyone who has served before him, all of those who serve alongside him, and the thousands we know who will be called upon to serve after him, deserve to know they have a country and a community back home doing our part in the fight for freedom. America is great because we are free. But today, our freedom is under attack, and the America we love is in danger. President Biden and the Democrats have failed you, and it's time for a change. A new generation of Republican leaders are stepping up, not to be caretakers of the status quo, but to be change makers for the American people. We know not what the future holds, but we know who holds the future in his hands. And with God as our witness, we will show the world that America is still the place where freedom reigns and liberty will never die. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
There's such a deep...
I don't know, folks, but during that interview, it sounded like Sarah was gearing up for a presidential run. So, excuse me, Tanny, stay tuned. We have another segment coming up. The fourth balloon to fly over the United States in the last 7 days, folks. What is this saying? What is it telling you? What is the Chinese trying to tell us? And are they going to stop? And what is America going to do to stop it? Is Joe going to get really strict and start and maybe fly a balloon over their country, see if they like it, and see how long that thing lasts in the air? But anyways, we'll be right after this short break, folks. Thanks for sticking around.
U.S. military shoots down another object, this time over Lake Huron, making this the fourth shootdown in about 1 week.
Well, good afternoon. This is the fourth time in 8 days the U.S. military has shot down an object over North America, certainly unprecedented in the history of this country. We just learned some new details from Michigan Congressman Jack Bergman, of course, a retired Marine Corps three-star general and former CH-46 pilot, which Joey knows all about, of course. He says this a U.S. Air Force F-16 fighter jet shot down a mysterious octagonal object over Lake Huron earlier today using a Sidewinder missile. That object flying at 20,000 feet. That's notable because that's much lower than those two ships shot down over the past 2 days. This is now the third object shot in the past 3 days, guys, starting on Friday when an object was shot down over the north coast of Alaska, as you see here on this chart, right on the northern coast of Alaska. That search for the debris has been hampered by rough weather. It's minus 20 degrees up there. It's very, very difficult. And then, of course, yesterday, another object was blasted out of the sky by a U.S. Air Force F-22 Raptor. It's notable that it was a U.S. Air Force jet shooting this thing down over the skies of Canada and Canadian airspace. That was on joint orders from President Biden and Canada's Prime Minister. And just as we know now, just moments ago, a U.S. Air Force F-16 fighter jet shooting down this object over Lake Huron. And, of course, this came just hours after some airspace over Lake Michigan had been closed because they thought they detected something. But then NORAD and the FAA lifted that restriction. We don't know if that's because this object had passed through there. Obviously, Lake Michigan, Lake Huron are very close together with the state of Michigan in between. And as you see on the map there on the left side, radar anomaly, just hours after that shootdown of the object over Canadian airspace yesterday, the FAA closed some airspace down over Montana, right near the border with Canada, of course, near Malmstrom Air Force Base, home to some U.S. nuclear missile silos. F-15 Eagles were scrambled from Portland, Oregon. They went in. They didn't see anything. And the NORAD later put out a statement, guys, saying it was a radar anomaly, essentially saying this is a false alarm. However, Senator John Tester from Montana was on CBS this morning. He thinks he believes there was and is something up there. Now, Montana around this area is about 1,500 miles to Lake Michigan, Lake Huron. It's not immediately clear, was this the same object? You know, these flying objects have not been traveling very quickly. Of course, when you go back over a week ago, you had that gigantic 2,000-pound Chinese spying apparatus that was shot down off the coast of South Carolina, also by an F-22 Raptor, that one out of Langley Air Force Base. So just one more time, this is the fourth time in 8 days the U.S. military has shot down an object over the skies of North America, guys. It appears that these three objects that have been shot down over the last 3 days all were able to penetrate U.S. airspace. They were not detected until they were already inside this country. That is very concerning for military officials. Of course, we heard from NORAD's commanding general, General Van Herken, who called it essentially a blind spot. I think he called it a domain awareness gap, a little bit of Pentagonese there. But bottom line is it's a blind spot. But, you know, not unlike the Super Bowl that most of us are about to watch this evening, you know, what do countries, adversaries look for? They look for these blind spots. They look to exploit, and that is what appears to be happening. However, once again, just a word of caution. Top officials at the Pentagon, here at the White House, we heard from Canada's defense minister last night in Ottawa. She said we do not know the origin of that, any of these objects. The object shot down over Canada yesterday, the object just shot down over Lake Huron, and certainly that object shot down off the north coast of Alaska on Friday.
Lucas, what we don't don't know is driving the questions we have. Obviously, it's driving our curiosity, our imagination. Our minds are going everywhere, and hopefully we're going to get more information soon. One thing that I'm doing my own research and looking at a report or an update from Jennifer Griffin is basically the idea that we have universities that put balloons of observation. I want to say weather balloon, but even more than that, we have universities that do that, corporations that do that, local municipalities and their weather service that do that. Is the Pentagon doing anything to cross-reference these before they shoot them down? Are they looking into where they could be from a...
Just want to jump in here real quick. This gentleman, the interviewer, right now at the Anchor Desk, he is a sitting representative right now. He is an Iraqi veteran. He has a prosthetic leg, and I think two to be exact, and he worked his way up, and... he's retired now, excuse me, he's retired, he used to be a Marine, and now he's at the Anchor Desk at, on a few shows on Fox, but I just wanted to throw in that tasty tidbit there for you guys. Okay, let's go on with this.
Friendly place before they shoot them down, is there any system in place that tracks those types of objects in the sky? One of the comments that Jennifer gave us was one of the senior Pentagon officials said, there's trash all in the sky.
Right, Joanna, of course, you remember your time in the Marine Corps. You know, you are very careful what you shoot at. You look at what the target is, what's also behind it. There's no question this is why the Pentagon, NORAD, or scrambling fighter jets get a visual ID before opening fire. These aren't just shooting down, you know, targets beyond visual range. It's why they're using these AIM-9 Sidewinders. That's a heat-seeking missile. You got to be in short range to use them, and that's why they're being studied for hours. In the case of that gigantic spy balloon that traveled across the United States on that week-long odyssey, of course, they took a lot of time to observe it, but certainly these three objects, they all appear to be a little bit different. However, we heard from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, of course, a member of the Gang of Eight. He is privy to some of the nation's closest held secrets. He called the objects, certainly the one over Canada, shot down a balloon. U.S. officials have told Fox in the past 24 hours the object shot down over Canada was this small metallic balloon, and it was tethered to a small payload. Friday, we heard from John Kirby at the podium here at the White House. You said the object was the size of a small car, certainly much smaller than what was called a giant 2,000-pound Chinese spy apparatus that was the size of three school buses. But back to your question, Joey, there's no question visual ID is happening. Of course, you know, you have things like IFF, you know, radar from a weather balloon. You're not going to get IFF, of course. You know, it's unmanned. They don't even file a flight plan. I mean, they might do a notice to airmen, you know, launch those things. But I officials tell me it would be very difficult to think that the U.S. military is just blasting weather balloons out of the sky with $500,000 Sidewinder missiles.
I mean, that's absolutely fair. Right now, we just don't know. They're telling me that we have pictures now of, I believe this is the plane going over Lake Huron, the plane that responded to that balloon or that object.
Could be an airliner, let's be fair. I mean, that's really far away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is notable, you know, that the Congressman Jack Bergman is a former Marine Corps three-star general. He flies CH-46s. Joey, you know more about that. You've probably taken a few rides back in your day on those sea nights. He knows what he's talking about when he said it was a U.S. Air Force F-16. That's notable, of course. A lot of F-16s in the Air National Guard. Yesterday, you had F-15 Eagles scrambling from Portland to respond to that, what seemingly was a false alarm over Montana. However, you know, you don't have to do a basic dead reckoning to know that, you know, if something is traveling east and it was spotted over Montana last night, this could very well be that same object. We don't know. We do know that Senator John Tester this morning was pretty testy on CBS, saying he thought an object was up there. He didn't buy the radar anomaly excuse from NORAD.
Lucas, we also have a tweet from Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale saying, I'm in constant communication with NORCOM, and they have just advised me that they have confidence there is an object and is not an anomaly. I'm waiting now to receive visual confirmation. Our nation's security is my priority. Obviously, you've got congressmen from this region that are sounding the alarm. Their constituents, I know because I'm from the Midwest, I'm from South Dakota, their constituents probably are not very used to this kind of activity happening over their airspace. So my question for you is this. Is it now because we saw this Chinese spy balloon last weekend was visible to the naked eye? Now we've got these other objects that may or may not be visible to the naked eye. What is the likelihood that there have been objects like this flying over our airspace, penetrating our airspace for a long time, and now the American government is just on high alert for these kind of objects?
Well, I think there's no question. By the way, that tweet by Congressman Rosedale, he was obviously very fired up and was not buying that statement from NORAD last night that called this a radar anomaly, seemingly a false alarm. He was very convinced, based on conversations he had been having with officials, that this was a real target, a real contact in the sky. And it appears, if it's the same contact that it now headed east, that he was correct. Back to what you're saying, Tommy, about spotting these on radar. I've been told we have sound from Senator Tester. Let's all have a listen.
The truth is that there was an anomaly, and they've investigated. I think it got dark last night, so they couldn't fully check it out. What's gone on the last, 2 weeks or so, 10 days, has been nothing short of craziness. And the military needs to have a plan to not only determine what's out there, but determine the dangers that go with it.
So Senator Tester was obviously a little fired up there, saying he was very convinced something in the sky. It's also notable, though, when he says it got dark out. I mean, that's just not how the U.S. military works. In fact, the U.S. military, it sometimes works best at night. Certainly, we're trying to get a visual ID. Of course, that's more challenging. But it's not like our pilots don't have nods and can't see at night. The U.S. military is an all-weather service, can see at any time. Just bottom line is, once again, this is the fourth time in 8 days the U.S. military shot down an object over North America. Tommy, going back to your question about why these aren't being spotted, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking about a little analogy that it's almost like looking for emails in your inbox. If I told you to look for something in your inbox and you just count it, you spend hours, maybe days, trying to find certain emails. But if you have a keyword search, it's easier to find those emails. I think very similar thing right now going with the radar picture. Right now, the Pentagon has collected a lot of data from these objects, from that giant Chinese spy craft, and they've gone back into their systems because, of course, all this radar data is stored, just like civilian satellite companies like Planet or Maxar. They keep all that stuff. They have to. The Pentagon's the same way, NORAD. So what they're doing is going back in time and seeing, do we think we ever heard or saw this? That's where it's coming from. That's why when they said this happened during the Trump administration, you heard from President Trump and all his top aides say, we don't remember this. That's because they didn't know. Many people in the Pentagon didn't know. And frankly, a lot of these discoveries were dismissed. And officials have come clean with that, saying they did not rise to the level. Some military pilots saying, look at those Tic Tac videos, not Tic Tac, Tic Tac, from USS Nimitz. Remember those UFOs that were seen buzzing around, the heads-up display from those Navy pilots. Remember, they're saying, this is going so fast. Whoa, can't believe it. There's a chance this is what could be a very similar craft. We just don't know the origin over these last three objects. But just remember, U.S. spy satellites for years, they're not looking for small, slow balloons. U.S. military spy satellites, IR birds in particular, they're looking for missile launches in North Korea. They're looking at aircraft, troop movements, China, North Korea, Russia, of course, over Ukraine. That's what spy satellites are doing. They're looking at a lot of stationary objects or missile launches. And because they have that data in the systems, if it's like a large explosion, how much orange flame is there? That's how they identify. When these North Korean missiles go up, within seconds, minutes, you're getting those statements out of the Pentagon. They even know what class is, a KN-23, KN-24. I don't want to get into the weeds of North Korean ballistic missiles here. But that's how they know, is it an ICBM? They see them rolling out of like the closet, the storage, and all that. Anyway, I digress. We're going on a little long here.
Lucas, quick question, quick answer. The administration's messaging to this point has been reactive, defensive, and inconsistent. The president is spending a rare weekend at the White House. He hosted that black tie event for America's governors. Can we expect to hear from him, or has the White House already called a lid on the day, indicating that we will not be hearing from the commander-in-chief given this breaking news?
That's right, Joe. President Biden's right here behind me. He's in residence here at the White House, and he had, by all counts, a lovely dinner at the White House last night, black tie affair. Everybody had their dinner jacket on, hosting the nation's governors. Obviously, not everyone attended. Governor Ron DeSantis, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders did not attend. There was a musical guest, country star Brad Paisley. Of course, all that was going down. The FAA was closing airspace over Montana, and those Eagles had scrambled from Portland, trying to figure out, was there another object over the skies of Montana. Of course, that was only hours after that object was shot down over Canadian airspace. It was very notable yesterday, though, Joe, a little digression here, but I think we have some time to fill, is it was a Canadian defense minister taking the lead. Canada was taking the lead yesterday. It was very clear that the White House, the Pentagon, you weren't going to hear officials. We heard about a phone call between Biden's defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, his Canadian counterpart. Otherwise, the Canadians took the lead, although it was very notable. It was a U.S. Air Force fighter jet that shot down that object in Canadian airspace.
Lucas Tomlinson, thank you so much for breaking all this down for us. A great job. Lucas Tomlinson at the White House. We'll get back to you as news warrants.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe. Uh-huh.